We're very sorry that you lost the Gemara from Halakha Gimel, but we had a little accident in which the battery popped out and lost power and therefore didn't write up a disk. So we're starting over again here on Daf Lamed, Halakha Dalet in Parashishi, Lamed on the base, Halakha Dalet, Parashishi of Kilayim. Piskei Ari, Shmona Amot Va'od. If you have an area, if you have an area in between an aris, that's the equivalent of a kerem shenechrab. A kerem shenechrab is where you have a space in between that has gotten ruined, the vines were uprooted. And we said that halakha is over there, the fact that there's a kerem on either side of it, offers it 16 amos, or the 24 amos, or the big shaman, and so on. An aris is not like a kerem. And in an aris, let's say you started off with an aris that was 10 vines long, which would be the equivalent of a case of a kerem that we had before, where you had the three rows and the, you know, start off with five rows of seven. Here, you need basically two rows of five, so to speak. But there was one additional one in the middle. So you had 11 vines lined up in a row, which essentially gives you two arises with a one vine in the middle. The one vine in the middle is ripped out. So now you have two separate arises, both next to a good there. So there, the halacha is like this. If you have shmona amas, so then the whole thing is awesome. But if you have shmona amas, the od, then you go back. Again, this is a big machlokas rishonim. However, this is my preferred approach, okay, mostly based on the Rambam. Once it's the od, once it's more than shmona amas, then we go to look at the edge of the aris as a gefen yechidi. And we don't say that the edge of the aris is the same thing as kenega the aris. You require arba amos. Six tefachim. And the rest, you could then be zoreah. Chol midot shamru chachamim bekerem, in them va'od, chutz mipis the aris. There's no nida that the chachamim gave in the kerem that has a va'od attached to it. All of them were specific midot. It's only here where you need shmona amos plus. And we'll see. We might even discuss this. Yeah, he really hates the kari. Following cases would be called piskaris. And oris, shechorav mehem tsa'od nishtayru bo chamesh kifanim mikan, v'chamesh kifanim mikan. So then, if between the two rows of five, where the other vine used to be, and now was destroyed, yeshem shmona amot, lo yavizera l'sham, shmona amot v'od, notim lo avadato, v'zoreat amotar. Then it gets a tavoda, three tefachim according to Rabbi Akiva, six tefachim according to Rabbi Chachomi, and you could be zoreah the rest. Ori, shuhu yoseh min hakoto mitoch kerem, v'kala, notim lo avadato, v'zoreah hamotar. Suppose you would have an aris that essentially was built into a corner, so that you have now the five vines extending two in one direction, two in another direction, 90 degree angle, and one in the middle. So you have one right up at the corner, and two on either side of the corner. So there, you have also an aris, but the thing is that the case over here, because of the way that it's shaped, you might have thought that it's going to be chovesh, the area in between, because it's like a V. No, not in law of that. No, this oreat hamotar. So there's many different problems as to what that means. Some say it means from the edge. We give it the tavoda from the edge, and the rest of the wall is not considered to be part of the art. Which would be mashma that in other cases, we would, if the wall continues going on from the art, that even the edge of the aris, because of the wall, continues on at least 4 amps. But since over here, it's in the Karen Zavi, we don't have to worry about that. So even though we give it the chashivas of the aris, but we don't give it the extension of the aris along its edge due to the gader. Another pshat is, the Rambam's pshat is, that actually is a different way of learning the Rambam. He has a very interesting way of learning the Rambam. He learns that the Rambam sees the case as extending, let me show them the picture of you, as extending from the wall has a triangle with one in the corner and two going out on either side, being going up to the base of the triangle, which is the wall. And that's why we're calling this the negative terms of it, because we want to know what the din is in the area between the edge of the triangle and the wall.
Okay.
Right here. This edge and the wall, that whole area. So over there, the chiddush is that we don't view this as locked in as kavush, and we give it only as it's avodah, and the rest of it is mutter. Yeah, a six. Okay, this is it. Not where it's more. Once it's more than four anos, then already it's not. It's not mechuber to this. It's not considered mechuber to this wall. Others learn that the meaning of the Rambam is that the area that's in the corner, which he doesn't even have that option, so I can't even show it to you. But that the case that I described, where you had one in the corner and two going in either direction. But then if you draw a line across the base of that triangle and you keep the stance, that's not called the hypotenuse, but in any event, the base of that triangle, we don't say that it's considered to be a kavush and the whole thing becomes, we measure it, and anything that is outside of the area of the ori is considered to be non-ori. Okay, there's many other Purushim also, so this is a very rich kind of Mishnah. Rav Yossi Omer, in Ein Shomar Ba'amot, Lo Yavi Zera L'Sham. So if you don't have four amot from the way the simple plot was, from the edge of the Oris to the end of the wall, if you don't have four amot, then that whole little piece of wall is considered to be part of the Oris. Hakanim Hayotim Min Aris. Now, if you have wood that extends further than the aris, so you use now poles in order to help the trellis grow along the wall. But it's not that you wanted the vines to grow in the other direction. You just didn't want to cut the poles because you might need them for something else. So there's a chasalam of poskan. You didn't feel like cutting the poles, but they're not meant to be a PPRO to draw the vine out in the other direction towards the field. So over there, kinegdan mutar, you would be allowed, they're not considered to be, a PPRO, and anything that's underneath them, and that would be much of the plant underneath it, because that's not meant for growth. If you wanted the vines to grow out, it would be like any other PPRO. Now, suppose you have a thrust of vine that shoots out, which often happens, you have a vine growing normally, all of a sudden it shoots out one thing 3 feet in the other direction. So now that parak itself, you look at it like there's a plumb line attached to it, and directly underneath wherever the plumb line would have touched, that's usher. Anything else is mutter, even right to the side. So a millimeter to the side, it goes mamish with the plumb line. The same thing would be true about a dalit. If you have the case of that PPRO, and not the arit. So it's a dalit, it's a hanging vine, and it sticks out one thing in another direction, same thing, only directly under it. Now suppose what you did was you had a vine and it stuck out, and you didn't want it to be lying on the ground to get room on the ground. So you tied a string to the edge. You tied the string on to something else to hold it up. But your intent was not that the vine should then grow along the string and up into the tree that's holding the string and so on. So then we don't look at that string as an PCR. So if you were moteach zimora milan milan, if you actually took a zimora and it went from one tree to the next and talked to us, sure, of course, under the zimora it's other stuff. But if you cut the hevel or the gumi, if what you did was is you tied it with a string or with a rubber band underneath the area of the dalit with the yasir, the tachat asipuf with the mutter, under the string with the mutter, it's actually going to be an extension of the perach now. Also, but if your intent was that it should grow along it, then it's also because then it's no different than the PPRO, where something is meant to be grown. So you said, all thing is also. Now this lashon in the Mishnah says there's no case of an ode. What's that a priya, Rabbi Zeira? Isn't that not like Rabbi Zeira? Because Rabbi Zeira, if you recall, argued before, early in the Masechta, about what the shir is when we said, by the case of the Karen Shenechava, the case between, where you had the distance between the vines, the Shemona. So his shita was that it was chutz mirakam kratim. It was Shemona plus the area of the vines themselves. Remember that, Machlokas? So according to him, the main shir is Shemona v'od. We need room in there for the kratim. So how can the Mishnah say, and we don't find a v'od when it comes to Karen? What do you mean? We always find a vod when it comes to Karen before Rabbi Zeira. Potar la Shemona Amos v'koshu. So according to him, it boils down when it says Shemona Amos, it doesn't really mean Shemona Amos. It means the shear of the Karen is Shemona Amos plus the area of the Gifanim. So Lama lo tanita. According to him, why did our mission leave it out and say that there's only one case in which we have a vod? Well, wait, you have to understand what the mission means when it says vod. Kahid Amr of Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explained it, and that's what the Mishnah is referring to. Rabbi Yochanan explained that when it says the ode, that call me do sh'amrav, call me va'od, it's always a tefak. The word va'od doesn't mean plus a masho. The word va'od means a tefak. If it means a masho, then it says the masho. So if it says va'od in our Mishnah, it would mean a tefak, and that's not true according to Rabbi Zeira. Because when Rabbi Zeira, ahin riba, that additional amount, is Riba Tifka, is larger than a Tefa, the distance of the three vines. So Mamela, you can't say Va'od, because that's not the point. Therefore, what you have to say is the distance, and minus the vines, whatever it is. So there the distance is Shemona, not Shemona Va'od. Two vines on either end, and one vine in the middle, if there's a vine there, you don't have to have it there. So it's two vines plus the 8 ounce. So therefore, it doesn't say it, because it's not a shear of the ode. It's just the shear is given, but outside of the vine. That's the only way to understand it. Because you couldn't say the ode. Therefore, it doesn't appear in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yonah was bothered by this. He said, why do we say that the midos of the Chachamim don't have the ode, except for mashma, not what? That there are the odes? There's no the ode. Show me a ode. Where is there a ode? What do you mean where there's a ode? What's the meaning? Aseret kabim Yerushalmim, sheim shisha esonim v'odyan. We see the word lashon ode. There it's talking about rikike nazir. So how much are you supposed to bring each rikike nazir? So it works out. You divide it into the ten kabim, so it comes out to be shisha odyan. Fine. So we see we do use the lashon of ode. Yes, again. Of course we use the lashon of ode for nidos. I'm asking you in a case of measuring distance, where does it ever say va'od? Why are we saying this is the only place in Karen? If it's going to say that, say this is the only distance we have in the Torah that we have a va'od. Yes, volume I understand, in volume we have va'od. Or some brought from a different va'od. But Tanina and Rabbi Yosef and Meshulam Omer, va'od kav l'meya sa'a shtutz l'mida meya. So many other, the halakha was the Gabi Trumas, where we say you need to have 100 to 1, right? So over there, there's a shita that says that even if it's 100 plus, you don't need mamish. In other words, what is that plus? Not that you need 101 total with the meduma. What is that plus? That plus is a kav. One kav to the 100. Now that kav, if we're talking about 100 saw to 1 saw, so then that kav would be 1/6. In other words, that's what we're saying. That would be shtut midameya, 1/6 of the truma that had fallen in, that is being midameya the rest. And that's the ode kav lameya. So that's an ode. Right? Okay, fine. So he answered. Come on, let me do it. Kama amot. There were two different things that we had asked on him. But to lean on, what about the case of Omer of Yerim and Bava, Haginava Karfaf, Shishimim Vishimayim, Hashimim Vishimayim. So we have the din over there shirayim, that's by Arab, and it's talking about distance, and it says over there that we have shivim ama v'shirayim. Shirayim is like va'od, right? So that's isn't that a va'od about ama? Said with Yonah, no. If you'll recall, what Shmuel says is that the shirayim works out to shnei shlishei ama shama. You said va'od means tefach. So va'od has a definition of a tefach. I want you to show me another example where it says va'od. Well, this mitzvah seems absurd. It's saying, there's no place else in a Karam that we said va'od. It's just like we're overrun with va'od and shiurim of, right? There is no other shiur. So you just should say, this is the only distance in length that we're talking about that we would have a va'od. All right, we don't have a response there. Now, the Mishnah seems to be saying, the point over here is, the only thing that was important to us is that in other words, certainly if we had originally planted five vines and then left an empty space, planted another five vines, it would have been no din of the piske aris. And aris, piske aris means that it was there and it was mechrab. But that's not true. It makes no difference in terms of what creates an aris. You know, it's the same thing in Mishnah about whether the getter was there before I planted the vines, or if I built the getter after I planted the vines. Either way, it seems to be an aris. But that leads us to some interesting questions. As Rav Avadini, who was the brother of Rav Yossi, as he pointed out, suppose you got a piske aris, right? And now the getter became chorav. So now, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped actually. I should have said, chorav ha-getter, if the getter becomes charuv after you made the aris, ein kam aris, hello piske aris. So now the aris is bottle, and so is the piske aris, because it's only the getter that gives it the chashivas of the aris. Not if there's no getter, it's no karam at all. Yeah. So now that leads us to ask, what would be the din if I go back and I build it? Obviously, if I go back and build it, I recreated an aris. Because originally it makes a difference whether the vines come first or the getter comes first. But can I recreate the piske aris? Is going back and creating it, putting back to where it was? Or is it like starting over again? You got to have a devious mind. So now I ask, would the piske aris go back to the way they were too? Rabbi Yossi, the shame Rabbi Yochanan said, Ma'aseh shesarach Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. There was a ma'aseh shahaya in which Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri went ahead and burned some koyak karam in Nangingar. And you know what it was that he burnt? Ma'aserach piske aris sarach. He burnt down piske aris, which proves that he also piske aris are me'ikar adin, and that they're not a lechatchila to be marchik, they are actually asr b'diavad. Rechia b'shem Rabbi Yochanan says, Ma'aser shesorach Rabbi Yochanan b'nuri b'nagnigar, Ma'asorach b'noris b'geder sarach. No, says Rechia, that's not what happened. That ma'aser that he burned in Nagnigar is he burnt the actual plants that have been planted in the aris between the vines and the getter. Oh boy, that's serious. That's already telling you that the din of aris asr, not but certainly not this aris. Look, if I'm right that it was piske aris, okay, then it's a big kiddush, and that's why somebody would say over this story, because divrei chachomim chalukin alav. We'll see later on in the Mishnah, the chachomim argue, and they say that actual plants that were planted in a piske aris do not become asr to the avad. Okay, so we want to know Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri argues, and he also gets asr. But if you're going to tell me that he burnt bein arisu gader sarach, how much of a chiddush in that? Divrei chachamim chalukin alav. Did you ever hear anybody argue on that? That you have to start quoting Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Even in the Mishnah, the only argument that was about piske aris. Rav Shmuel, poor Rav Yossi, who said this, simply wasn't aware of the fact. He didn't hear that Rav Yaakov Bar Acha said that, in fact, he's talking Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish about even the din of the aris itself. Rav Yochanan Amar Asura Mekadesh, Rav Shimon Amar Asura Mekadesh. He said that there is a machlokes, in which case there is a chiddush, to say that it would be burned by Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, to tell me that it's osur and it's mekadesh, the way Rabbi Yochanan learns. No, no, we got to finish here now. Don't you want to say, will we matter?
Okay.
Now, Ruhu, Shiyad Karen Zavid Arbat Fachot Tvachim Kidei Makom. Now we're going now back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, an Oris, it's Yotim and Akosel, the Karen Zavid, it's Mutter to plant by the Kosel, and there's no din of Arachaka. In other words, you only need Arachaka of Shisha Tvachim. Okay? Now, where exactly do we count these Shisha Tvachim from? So, here it says, Ruhu Shiyad Bikaren Zavid Arbat Tvachim Kidei Makom. Talking about over here that sometimes you'll be mode these six tefachim from the edge of the wall itself, because that little piece, if the wall continues a little bit further, becomes not part of the aris itself and has the same din as the aris. Where is that? If you don't have four tefachim from the edge of the last vine till the end of the wall, so then the wall is bottle. That piece is bottle because it's fourth vacuum, if you recall. It always has a shame mechitza, the Gabi Divinim of Tulayat Karim here, also Gabi Mokum Kosher for Shabbat. But so in the middle, if you don't have fourth vacuum from the edge of the vine till the end of the gutter, then that's all part of the Aris in the first place. And therefore you have to include it and start counting after it, only from the end of the wall. Masha Ein Kain, if it already keeps going on, then it's a chark, then already it's a different locale. Tanina Nahacha de Rabbi Yossi, the Tanina Tamar. Now, here we said it from Rabbi Yossi, and we said that actually before, in the case of, also Rabbi Yossi, in the case of the Gat, the case of the Mecca, that Rabbi Yossi always views the area around the vine to be defined by the vine, the prohibition, right? So he said even a single vine creates the equivalent of an aris. Well, we just discussed this yesterday. So the Tamina Taman, and we said it in the last paragraph, and why do we need both? Because Eilu Tani Tahacha Velo Tani Taman. I would have said, well, of course, the reason over here he's willing to say that the whole area is brought up to it is because Havi Amin and Hacha Yedei Shiyil Chas Aris Atomet Asur. Maybe it's only over here we have five gifonim, and we know five gifonim is a din of an aris. Okay, well, then I understand that as the chumrah of a keren, and so the nail is mevatel the area around it. Mashenken, over there, you have a single vine. Who's to say that Rabbi Yossi would have said that a single vine can be chovesh in the neck, or chovesh in the neck, to ask the whole thing? So the nail, I need to have that mishnah over there. Which explains to me why Tzricha to write it over there in the last parak. Oila to the Taman on the other hand. If it would have written only the din of the neck, I leave the Rabbi Yossi. The Lota Nitahakan wouldn't have said the din of Rabbi Yossi over here about the gather. So I would have said, Avan Amrina and Taman, Ayadesh and the Guf Afni Avarukotav, Atomer Asur. Over there, yes. You know why Rabbi Yossi holds the whole thing is Asur? Because all around this vine is mechitzas, essentially, because it's in a ditch. So the edges of the ditch define very well the distance from the gefen. And that's why he says that you can be chovesh it. Mashenkin over here, hocho, it's not megufaf at all. It's just a continuation of the keren at the edge. So ayadei she'eino megufaf mi habaru chotav, so then maybe atom remutah. Avitzur chamat mihacha, avitzur chamat mihaman. Therefore, we need to have both of these mishnayos. Now, Taman Amar Atro Ekilu Shkud Shomatechet Tachuzba. Now, we said, we're getting that back now to our Mishnah. So, we said that if you have a pera that comes out, you should use a plumb line, right? And now, the plumb line, yes, it's interesting that we view in English a plumb line as meaning absolutely strictly directly beneath something, right? But in the Lashon of the Mishnah, if we want to say something is strict, then we talk about a solid line, like a shkut shematechet, not a plumb line. Because a plumb line, since it's a weight on an elastic cord, on a movable cord, we always have to worry about that little bit of jiggling in the cord itself. And we'll alter the straying of the line. And the question is why we choose that lushan over here, which is mashman this usher, whereas there, meaning in Bavo, when they said over the shear, they said the shear is Yushpucho Matechatahubba. It's as if you literally measured it up and then you put down a solid piece of metal from the top to the bottom that can't move. And it's stuck in the ground. So that means that there's no variance at all. Shimon bar Bava, Shem Rabbi Yochanan, ad makom shuhu nakmat. So we said that in the case of the perach, you literally shpud, and he says no. He says, Rabbi Shimon bar Bava, that Rabbi Yochanan said that actually it's dafka a plumb line, because the other thing is not really mukhuvan. So what we're saying is, until, that's why we call it a mitzvotelet. Why don't we call it anak? Why don't we call it a mitzvotelet? Right? Because mitzvotelet means that it's movable. It's mitzvotel. So when we use the word mitzvotelet, we're saying the dafka until ad makom shehu nakman, until the part that he's nikmat, until the part that it will be moved over to the side. So it's very dark. Don't think mitzvotelet is just the name of a kli. Mitzvotelet is the name of a shear. It's mitzvotelet to this side and to that side. It's mitzvotelet, and therefore nakman, the sway in it, is included in the shear. The Chama Barufa B'Shem Rabbi Yossi Ben Chanina says, tachat eshkolot, if you plant underneath the actual grape, and if it's over it, so then it's asur, and it's also mikadesh. But if you plant underneath the leaves of the vine, it's asur, but lo, it's not mikadesh. Because when we say that the sichuch is considered to be kalayim, it means sichuch beneath the essence of the gefen. And so memela, although it's asur to be zoreya, the fact we said it's also kineged haperach. Kineged haperach is not, there's no grapes on it. It's just a perach. It's just leaves. Nonetheless, it's asur. However, obviously it's talking about that you're not within arbanus of the kerem itself. You're not with, of the gefen itself, but the kerem itself, right? We're talking about not only this halacha. Sichuch. The sin of sichuch, which is different than the din of hasaka from the shoreshim. Sichuch. So, tachat ilan is not asur mekadesh. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, not only is it asur, but the din of sichuch of a gefen is not only grape, it's gefen. In which case, what do I care what part of the gefen it is? Sichuch is the same as having planted it together on the bottom. Hadron aloche zehu arid, hamadrichet hagefen ba'aret, inein afar gabash vashat vachim, lo yavi zera aleh. As we already saw, the din of mixing the roots of things as kalayim is also as long as it's within 3 tefachim of the ground.